We just sang his praises. Now let's look to his word. Tonight, last call. Anyone need handouts? It'll be very helpful for you tonight. Great. Looks like we are all set. Perfect. Okay, here we go. So tonight, we're going to continue with just another theme, something that, as I've read, a lot of teenagers are struggling with, not necessarily just in the form of technology, but in the form of life in general, and that is purpose, and something that we've all talked about before, something that's probably not going to be very new to you, but hopefully have some thoughts that will draw your heart to Christ, but also some convictional thoughts of some areas that we need to improve. And so, as we start tonight, have you guys ever seen the movie Ice Age The Meltdown? You guys ever seen that? All right, now in that, there's like eight of them or whatever there is. Not as bad as Land Before Time, but there are tons of them. So in Ice Age The Meltdown,
Land Before Time,
what did I say?
Bad.
Terrible movie, all right? Land Before Time was awful.
It's full song.
Moving on, all right, not the point. Shh. So moving on, in the movie Ice Age The Meltdown, right? There's this character called Ellie, and she is a female woolly mammoth. Okay, now in this story, when she was younger, she has a flashback of when she got separated from her family. And so when Manny, the male woolly mammoth, meets Ellie, he gets really excited. I mean, obviously he's like, hey, she's the only other woolly mammoth that I've ever met. I thought everyone was dead, and so obviously we're not going to go extinct. So he gets pretty excited, but as he goes through the story, what happens is they have a flashback, and she finds out that she doesn't even remember that she was a woolly mammoth. She got separated from her family, and she grew up with two possums. Okay, their name was Crash and Eddie. So as she grows up, she lives the life of a possum. She eats what a possum eats. She lives like a possum. She acts like a possum. She has the mannerisms of a possum. And Manny gets really frustrated with this. And so eventually in the story, she comes to find out, hey, I actually am not a possum. I'm a woolly mammoth. So this is a really deep introduction here. So where am I going with this? She was living her life as if she was a possum. She was forgetting what she really was. And as the story progresses, there come upon a situation where she forgot that she was built to be sturdy, to be strong. She was built for strength. But she instead, out of self-preservation, she kind of went around this patch of ice and got herself in a lot of danger. She got trapped into a cave because she forgot what she was made for. She forgot what she was built for, who she was, and she acted like a tiny, afraid possum. And she lived the life of a possum. And so often, we can forget what we were made for. And I'm going to pull it in together here. Why did I even bring that up? Because we can forget our purpose. We can start to believe that this earth is what we were built for. That this earth is what we were made for. That this earth and all the things of it is the only thing that there is that we should be living for. And we start to believe the lies of this world and start behaving as if this is all that there is. Ellie in the story was behaving like a possum, and it got her in a lot of trouble. It got her into some dangerous situations. And living outside of our God-given purpose is dangerous, but it's also very unfulfilling. We cannot be completely fulfilled and completely joyful without fulfilling our purpose that we were built for, that we were made for, that we were created for. So listen to some hopeless quotes of some very famous philosophers. There's a guy, his name is Hermann Hesse. It's on your handout if you'd like to follow along. He says, life is senseless, cruel, stupid, and yet marvelous. It does not mock man, but it does not care more about man than about the earthworm. I don't know how to pronounce this next one, but Simone de Beauvoir, something like that. She says this, what purpose does life have if it is radically destroyed or nullified? She's talking about death. If it just goes away, why did it exist in the first place? In the end, everything is senseless. The beauty of life, the deeds of man, everything. Life is absurd. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to live my life like this. I don't want to live my life with no purpose, with no meaning, being hopeless, and thinking that everything in life is just senseless, that everything is just for the right here and the right now. And the Bible tells us that there is much more to life than just what we see, what we can touch. And it's not just going to be obliterated at death. Our life, our soul is going to live somewhere forever. And the Bible tells us that we have a very big purpose, and life is not senseless. So for those of us who are believers, On the practical side, our purpose can quickly get out of focus as we live here on this earth, can it? We really quickly and easily forget what we were meant to be, what God created us for, the purpose that God made us for, and we start to believe our lives, start to believe our lies of this world, that our lives only have meaning and purpose if we're rich or famous, that our lives only have purpose when we have maximum pleasure. That, hey, I'm just going to live and I'm going to party hard right now and get all the pleasure I can because this is all there is. And that's what the world tries to teach us. And we start to believe the lie that everything has to be easy. That we deserve everything to be nice and rosy all the time. That we don't deserve any problems, that nothing bad is going to happen to us. And question for you tonight, what do you guys think, truly, not just the Sunday school answer, what do you really think in your heart is going to make you happy? What do you think is really going to give you a sense of purpose? And I want you to think about that, because what you are chasing with your thoughts, with your free time, that's what your life is showing, that that's where you are finding or attempting to find your purpose in life. It's not senseless. Life is not just going to end once we die. What do you think is going to give you purpose? Is it anything other than seeking God? Because God created us. We cannot find purpose apart from God. So one of the effects of our technology-saturated society is this thought. I must have choices. So this is why we're bringing this up. I must have choices. And why do I bring it up? Because I grew up in a time where you couldn't DVR TV. There was no Netflix. You're all like, man, you're old. There was no Netflix. There was no Hulu. There was not on demand. I mean, whatever I was going to watch on TV, it had to be on TV. It had to be live. And if I couldn't find anything, I'd either flip the channels or be done. But we now live in a society where we can get what we want, when we want it. We can always get the show we want. We always have everything at our fingertips. Everything's customized and catered for us. And we often think, hey, I've got to have choices. And so again, why do I bring this up to you guys? Because my fear for your generation, and even my generation, is that we will choose not to follow Christ because we're just continually waiting for something better to come along. Have you fallen for that lie? That, hey, as soon as I get out of the house, I can go and do whatever I want, it's going to be better than this. I'm not going to give my life to Christ because he's going to make my life really boring. He's not going to let me to enjoy things. He's not going to allow me to do things that I think are fun. Guys, all of that is a matter of the heart. What are you really thinking deep down in your heart that maybe you're not telling anyone else, that you're hiding, that you're keeping secret? What are you trying to find purpose in? Because to fulfill your joy-filled, this is what we're going to talk about tonight, joy-filled and God-centered purpose. Two main things. The purpose of your life is not for you. It's for God. Your life is supposed to be God-centered, but also a result of that is that it's going to be joy-filled. Your joy-filled and God-centered purpose, in order to fulfill that, you must choose to live life to the glory of God. A lot of words we hear all the time. So tonight we're going to focus on what does that actually look like? How do I implement that? Because you also have to understand that glorifying God is a joy-filled experience. God's plan for you is for you to be happy and joyful. He will receive glory, but he wants you to be part of it, and he wants you to find joy in it. We are his sheep, and he is the good shepherd. Psalm 73 says this, that he is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Your purpose lasts a lot longer than just what you see on this earth. He will meet our needs forever. So before we go any further, let's ask the Lord for wisdom tonight. Father, we do thank you that we can call you our Father. We thank you for the promise that we sung about even tonight, that you are with us. That even when we don't understand what's going on in our lives, that your plan is a good one. That your eternity that you promise us is a good one. And Lord, we do have temporary earthly struggles. But Lord, help us to believe and truly have faith through those trials and struggles that you are good, that you want what's best for us, and you do want our joy to be full. But Lord, also help us to focus our lives on you, that we would be God-centered and we do everything for your glory. I pray that you'd open up our hearts tonight, that you'd convict where that is necessary, that you would draw anyone who doesn't know Christ as their Savior to a saving knowledge of your Son. In Christ's name, amen. So again, we're talking about purpose, which ultimately is answering that question, why am I even here? Why do I exist? Why am I on this planet? And if I asked you guys right now, what's the purpose of man? I think most of you in this room would give me that quick answer. You know the right answer, that the purpose of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You guys would probably give that to me. You've heard it over and over again. In Isaiah 43:7, it pretty clearly states what the purpose of man is. It says this, "For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God tells us why He created us, for His glory. But what does that even mean? How do we go ahead and live that out? Because where we fail is the implementation of that truth. How do we do that? How do we glorify God? So before we go even further with this, there's some background we have to get. We have to look at a couple implications of just the fact that God created us. What are implications? The results, the ramifications. How do we have to respond to just the fact that God created us? So let's look at implications of man's creation. What does it mean? You and I have been created. He made us, and we must all come to the realization that we are dependent upon God. I found myself, every time I'm studying for this series, coming back to this fact that we are created in God's image, and it comes back to it again, and whether you like it or not, you would not exist without God. You are completely and utterly dependent upon God. There is no way that you'd be breathing, you would not be alive, and God created us in His image. We are like Him. And our purpose cannot be fulfilled apart from Him. So why are we here? Simple answer. God wanted us here. God wanted us to have fellowship with Him. God wants us to glorify Him. He has a purpose for us. And we did not just rise up out of a huge series of fortunate mutations in evolution and just appear. The world will try to tell you that, but the Bible, God's Word, says that He created us, He made us, and we are dependent upon Him for every single breath that we take. But also in Jeremiah 31:3, God is speaking and He says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." So the backdrop of this is God created you because He loves you and He promises to love you forever. It's not a love that's going to fade away. It's not a love that, like, hey, you have to earn. God loves you with an everlasting love, and He loves us with a love that's never going to fade. Even though you may not understand it at certain times, you are part of God's eternal plan. Each and every one of you. I mean, you didn't appear on this earth and God was like, oops, didn't know that was going to happen, right? I mean, like, you didn't just appear on accident. God had a purpose for each and every one of us, and you're not just here to exist. You're not just here for pleasure. You're not just here for a senseless life that's going to end. We exist for a purpose, and that purpose is completely dependent upon God. We are dependent upon God for who we are. For your personality, for your strengths, for your weaknesses, everything that you are, God created. Jeremiah 1:5, God is speaking to Jeremiah, and He says to Jeremiah, He gives them these words, and He says that we're dependent upon Him, but He also says that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And the purpose for which He created Jeremiah was to be a prophet. And God forms each and every one of us. He formed every one of you for a specific purpose. And Dr. Cook, from a book I've been reading, she said, we need to know and develop our strengths. Do you know your strengths came from God? But Dr. Cook also says we need to develop our weaknesses. The strengths that God has withheld from you is God's plan. Again, it wasn't an accident that, hey, maybe you're not the most athletic. Maybe you're not the most academic. Maybe you're not all of these things. Everything that God has given us, all of our strengths and weaknesses, are for a purpose. But also, He's accomplishing something for us, but we're dependent upon God for what we have. Who we are. Your personality. Your strengths, your weaknesses. But also everything that you have. And in Job chapter 1, I'll put the scripture up on the screen for you. It says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. I will have nothing when I had nothing when I was born. I'll have nothing when I die. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" So as I've told you guys before, my kids, like, their purpose in life right now is to play, right? I mean, I come home and I'm like, hey, what'd you guys do today? Play. Hey, what do you want to do tonight? Play. I get up in the morning and I'm like, hey, what are you going to do all day? And they're like, I'm going to play all day. And they get super pumped about it. And what if I come up to them and I ask them, it's like an all-consuming passion. It's time to go to bed. There's like a mental breakdown that ensues. And I say, buddy, why are you crying? What do you think he says? I want to play, right? Now, to play, you have to have toys, don't you? Especially as a little kid, okay? So he's got a bunch of toys. We've got like thousands of stuffed animals. We've got them in storage. My daughter's crib is like full of stuffed animals. She can barely sleep in there. But here's the point. When both of my siblings are in the same room, obviously one of the things that they learned how to say very quickly and very early is mine. Now, one of the things, I'm not going to recommend this as a parenting strategy, but one of the things that I think is funny to do is when they say, hey, that's mine, they steal a toy from someone else. I'm like, hey, you know what? Actually, it's mine. And they're like, what, Dad? That's not yours. That's like a Spider-Man. And so I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take everything that I own, everything that I bought in this room, I'm going to pick it up, I'm going to take it to my room. I own it. I bought it. Everything you bought, Colton, you can keep. He's like, He didn't buy anything, right? Everything that my kids have is dependent on me or my wife or my family or friends that have given them gifts. Everything they have is dependent upon that, and they just stare at me. So why did I use that illustration? Because sometimes we view that our whole purpose in life is to play, is to have fun, is to have pleasure, and that all we try to do with our lives is we try to get more and more and more stuff and more figurative toys and technology and movies and bigger houses and bigger cars and nicer cars and better sneakers and better shoes and better clothes. We try to get all these things that we think are going to make us happy, and we try to say mine. And God has given us everything that we own, and we cannot have anything without him. And Job, he understood this truth that everything we are is dependent upon God. Everything we are, everything we have. And look at his response. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything was taken away from him. So guys, with your purpose in life, you can't really have a choice. You're dependent upon God. You would not exist without him. You would not live without him. You would have nothing without him. He gives us everything. So we've been created by God. We're dependent upon him, but also we are accountable to him. We have to give an answer to him. In Romans chapter 9, says this, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Guys, because God is creator, every single one of us has to answer to him. We are accountable to him. We're dependent upon him, we're accountable to him, and sometimes we get that very backwards, don't we? We want God to answer to us. And we take our hands and we shake them in God's face and we say, God, how dare you do this to me? How dare you not give me talents? How dare you not make me super good looking? How dare you take away all these good things from me? How dare you take this thing that I love? And we want God to give answer to us. Guys, he created us. Who do we think that we are to tell the potter, as the clay, what did you do? We are telling God, you know what? I think that I am wiser than you. I think you messed up. And God, how dare you? And he wants to use you and how he made you for a purpose. He doesn't answer to us. We answer to him. And we've got that backwards. So tonight, are you guys struggling with that? God, what are you doing? I mean, seriously, why'd you take that from me? God, seriously, why didn't you give me what I want? I've been praying for this for years. We're dependent upon him, and we're accountable to him. He created us. You have absolutely no right to make God answer for what you think he's done wrong. The only thing that we can do is bow down before God. Guys, it's like a cop, for those of you who drive. He comes up behind you, he turns on his blue lights. Always, whenever I see those blue lights, your stomach just sinks. Like the blue lights come up and they stop you, and all of a sudden he comes up to your window, he knocks on it, and then you look up at him sitting in your driver's seat and you're like, hey, you know how fast you're going, cop? You know you blew through a stop sign? Hey, let me see your driver's and registration. You start making the cop give answers to this, and you're like, hey, you know what? You have the right to remain silent. I don't like being stopped here. get out and you try to arrest him. Like, do you have any right to do that? What do you think the cop's going to do? I mean, it's going to escalate pretty quickly if you start getting physical. You have absolutely no right to say to a police officer, hey, you know what? What are you doing? And we kind of understand that. We would think that would be ridiculous. If somebody saw somebody do that on the side of the road, that would be a big problem. And we're like, oh man, what an idiot. But you know what? Spiritually, we're idiots a lot, aren't we? And it's easy to do. But we start asking God, you've got to answer for what you're doing in my life. And in the context of our purpose, we don't have the right to tell God, this is what I want to do with my life. This is my purpose. Make it work. We're accountable to him. He is not accountable to us. And too often we confuse love with permissiveness. What do I mean? Hey, if I love my kids, I'm not going to let them walk into the fireplace. I'm not going to permit them to walk into the fireplace. I'm going to stop them. But sometimes we think, hey, if they really loved me, if my parents really loved me, they would give me this. They would let this happen. They wouldn't stop me from doing what I think is going to be fun or enjoyable. And so often that's how we view God, that, hey, he's stopping us with all these rules and all these regulations. And the Bible, we think, hey, you know what? This is not going to be enjoyable. If I follow everything the Bible says, my life's going to be boring and it's not going to be fun. That's actually the opposite of what God says. And so what we really come to understand with the implications of being created in God's image for his glory is, guys, we don't really have a choice. We are utterly dependent upon God, and we are accountable to him, whether you like it or not. You've got to give an answer for what you've done wrong. There really isn't a choice. We don't make up the rules. We've got to answer to the one who created us. And we do not have the right to say, God, what are you doing? God is the one who has the right. And so, you know what? I created you. Your purpose is to glorify me. And this is how you do it. This is how you need to live your life in order to give the right opinion of me, to showcase my majesty. And you know what? If you don't do it, there's going to be consequences. God lovingly created us. He has the right to do that. Those are the implications. We're dependent and we're accountable. We can't change that. We don't really have a choice. The Bible says that all of us have messed up. We've all sinned. And the consequence is that if we don't live our life in a way that glorifies God is death. Complete separation from God. But God, through Jesus Christ, died in our place, took our punishment so that we didn't have to be separated from him forever. He created a way for our relationship to be restored. We're accountable to him. He can't just push our sin under the rug because he's holy and righteous. He's got to hold us accountable. That's the gospel. So guys, if you went into your kitchen to cut an apple, and you pulled out a knife, and all of a sudden you went to do that knife, and a freak accident happened, and like instead of cutting the apple, it just mashed it and like made applesauce. What are you guys going to do with that knife? You're probably going to throw it away. Why? Because it doesn't work. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not doing what it was made to do. And just like Hermann Hesse and Simone de Beauvoir felt that life is senseless, that knife would be senseless because it's not fulfilling its purpose. And guys, if we don't fulfill our purpose of glorifying God and getting our needs met in God, our life is going to feel meaningless. To fulfill your joy-filled and God-centered purpose, you all must choose to live a life that glorifies God. You have to. There's no really other option. We're dependent upon him and we're accountable to him. So we need to have the right response to those implications. Now, the natural response is what? In our flesh, we want to rebel. We don't want to be dependent upon anybody. We don't want to be held accountable for our actions. We don't want someone to say, hey, this is what you need to do with your life. We don't want anybody to do that for us. We only have one good choice, but guys, it is an amazing and it is a good choice. We can follow God who's going to give us joy because we glorify him. Choosing to live your life for the glory of God is a choice that will bring you eternal joy. Not just fleeting pleasure. It's something that's going to last forever. He is our portion forever. Guys, don't let your purpose get skewed. Your purpose is not to live a life here for yourself and for all the pleasure that you can muster. Life will no longer be senseless because you are doing what you are made to do if you choose to live your life to glorify God. to try to show the world who he is. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. I don't have this one on your handout for you. Psalm 100. So in light of those implications of man being created, we're going to make we have some applications to make. So let's make some application of man's purpose. How do we live that out? How do we actually do that? Because we're dependent upon God, we are accountable to him, we really don't have any other good option, and God wants us to be joy-filled. Look at Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and that is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. First thing I want to point out from this passage of scripture is you can find purpose by acknowledging who God is. Basically what we just talked about, so we're going to go through it quickly, but Psalm 100 repeats it. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We didn't make us who we are. We didn't give us the strengths and the talents. It goes back to those implications. Once you've acknowledged who God is, you can fulfill his joy-filled purpose. And you know what? You are not in control. You're not really in charge of your life. God gives us free will. He tells us to follow him because, out of free will. But you know what? That's kind of a relief to me. God's in control, and he's better at orchestrating my life than I am. What I think is going to be good for me isn't always good for me. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. A shepherd cares for his people. God cares for his people. So guys, stop trying to be the God of your own life and make things work exactly the same way, the way that you want them to. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to point to God. Your life is about God. But also, last point tonight, you can find purpose by enjoying personal worship of God. God made you to worship, but you can find joy in worshiping him. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now some of you are like, you know what, Pastor Brandon, still sounds kind of boring to me. I mean, you're telling me that I'm supposed to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing? I mean, that's not really what I want to do with my life. Sounds kind of boring. So, have you guys ever thought about this? How can I find joy in a life that is full of rules? Do you ever feel like so stifled by rules? That, hey, I just feel like everybody's telling me what to do, and none of us like being told what to do. But how you might be saying, how can I ever find joy and contentment in living my life for the purpose of serving someone else? For the purpose of serving God? That's not going to be joyful. Do you hate being told what to do? Do you ever feel like rules are the ultimate killjoy? You ever gotten to like a hotel pool and like you're all stoked about it, you're excited, you're like ready to dive in. All of a sudden you walk out, you got your towel thrown over your shoulder, and like all of a sudden you see pool rules. No running, no jumping, no diving, no horseplay, no fun, right? Like basically that's what you see when you go to a pool rule, when you go to a pool. Public pool, you see those things, you're like, man, this stinks. Can you guys imagine a world without rules? Can you guys imagine trying to play a basketball game without any rules? It would be absolutely mass mayhem. You'll get onto the court and people would be shoving each other, people would be pushing each other, people would be doing all kinds of things outside of the rules and would not allow you to play basketball. How many of you like amusement parks? Anybody like amusement parks? How about like roller coasters? Like, I love roller coasters. Now, let's just say that when you went to an amusement park and looked at a roller coaster, you're like, that looks awesome. But then you come to find out that the people who built that roller coaster didn't follow any construction rules. Yes. And all of a sudden you're there with your family, you're like, oh dude, there's Johnny. That's awesome. Whoa, there goes Johnny. He's dead, right? Like, you want them to follow rules. So what you really come to understand is, guys, rules allow us to have fun. Rules allow us to enjoy life. Rules protect us. And the Bible is God's set of rules, his parameters, to allow us to worship him and enjoy worshiping him without doing damage in sin. And a lot of times we buck against that. We don't want to go to the Bible for rules. And if you really think about it, they allow us to have fun. It allows us to worship God and enjoy life. God wants you to live life to its fullest. One more verse to make a couple more points from. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Guys, there's the rules. Psalmist is talking to God. You'll show me how I'm supposed to live my life. Give me the parameters. You're going to guide me. There's the rules that are set up. And then in the second part of that verse, in thy presence is fullness of joy. He sets up parameters for us, but we get joy in the presence of God. Not by running away from him and doing our own thing. That's not our purpose. In God's presence is joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. They're not going to fade away. They're not going to stop. God's purpose is for us to enjoy him forever. So how does this fit into our technology series? You are not here on this earth to go home and rank up by 10 ranks in your video game. You are not there to go home and spend hours on end, not see your family, not spend time in God's Word, and watch all 11 seasons of your favorite TV show on Netflix. You are not here on this earth to document every part of your life and post them on social media just so you can get your ego stroked by how many likes you get. Not wrong, but where's your focus? That is not our purpose. Are you trying to find purpose in something that is fleeting and that is going away? Your purpose is to enjoy worshiping God forever, and it is going to be joyful. It is going to be God's perfect way to live life. And oftentimes we run to other things. Satan wants to distract us from our ultimate purpose. Because we won't be fulfilling our purpose, we won't be fulfilling our function, we won't be trying to do what God wants us to do, and we need to glorify God with our lives. So tonight, are you like Ellie the woolly mammoth? You are living your life like this world is like it. You're not living your life according to how you were created and according to the purpose for which God created you. And guys, you're not going to be able to find fulfillment or joy in living your life that way. God has given us purpose. And living for this world is dangerous. And it's unfulfilling. We're going to be chasing our dreams and desires for our whole lifetime. And guys, God created us. We need him. We answer to him. We're all going to be judged by him. And he gives us purpose. Your purpose is to enjoy worshiping God. And our response to all those things is we ought to bow down to him because he's a good, loving Heavenly Father who's given us a purpose that will give us fulfillment. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and are humbled that so easily we are distracted from things that really matter, from the number one purpose that we've been given as humans is to glorify you, to give the world the right opinion of who you are, to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you so much that you are on a mission to redeem us through the gospel and restore us to look like Jesus Christ. Help all of us in this room to realize that we can find contentment and joy and peace and happiness in joining you on that mission of glorifying your name, by serving you, by sharing the gospel, by living a life within the parameters that you've set up, knowing that you've done that to protect us, to keep us safe, that we would not harm ourselves. Lord, I pray for all the teens that are here tonight that you'd help them to get a vision for the purpose of their lives, that it's not for them, and that you love us and you want what's good for us and we will enjoy serving you. You are our portion forever. Help us to be people who fulfill our purpose for why we're created. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Again, I just want to give a chance to respond. If you're here tonight and you're like, you know what, I've never heard that before and being accountable to God is something that does scare me. I know that I sin and I know that I've never repented of it and asked God to forgive me. And if you would like to do that, we have some youth staff members we could connect you with that can show you from God's word how you can get your sins forgiven and know that you can spend eternity with God forever. If that's you, just quietly get up, go to the back. Want to give a chance to respond, won't stretch it out, but want to give the Holy Spirit a chance to work. But maybe you're here tonight and you've realized that you are a believer and that you are not living your life for the purpose that God has given you. That maybe your life is all about glorifying you. It's not about glorifying God. And you have some things you need to confess. And you can do that in your seat. But if you'd like to speak with someone, again, that invitation is open. Love to talk to you, myself, or another youth staff member. I'll give you about 10, 15 seconds to pray, and then I'll close.